Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
We, from time to time, will get emails that were meant for TMJ4, because they just see the call letters
or
whatever.
Yep, last night.
Let me read this to you. Please get off the freaking air so we can watch what we paid for. Trust us. We have sirens, radio alerts, mobile phone alerts, and our own eyes and ears. This is Wisconsin, for Pete's sake. Enough already.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 7:12 on this Wednesday morning, the headline here, and somewhat apologize for it this morning, is that we still don't really know why downtown Milwaukee was just flooded with cops Tuesday afternoon.
Not a lot of word from Milwaukee police on what's going on.
Yeah, sorry. TMJ4's Steve Shamraz on the air in that breaking news coverage. Our newsman, Adam Roberts, also on scene about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
There are police. Some of them have their long guns not drawn, but on their person. There's a lot of standing around, a lot of people trying to gauge what's going on as well.
Yeah, so corner of Milwaukee and Wells appear to be dozens of law enforcement officers, U.S. Marshal Service, FBI, Milwaukee Police. Kind of reminded me of the scene in the Blues Brothers, remember, at the end of the movie?
Right. Well, everyone is chasing him.
It's everywhere.
Well, my buddy texted me saying he was heading home 94 westbound and dozens of cops flying eastbound headed toward the city.
So your mind races to terrible places immediately when you have that level of response.
I ran into people just down here shopping or working, and they're just confused as to why there are so many police officers. We did see somebody go in the back of a police cruiser. So
that's TMJ4's Megan Lee also reporting on scene. So I did not see an update in our overnight notes that we get from Milwaukee Police with regularity of any further information. TMJ4 says they were told by MPD that there was a vehicle pursuit in connection with a homicide and that at least three suspects were arrested. Which homicide? Where was the pursuit? When did it start? Yep. All of these questions remain open right now. It's kind of all I got. I did reach out to Milwaukee Police looking for more information. Haven't heard back from them as of yet, but kind of wanted to put that out there in front of you because a lot of people saw it. It was just a busy time of the afternoon, 3:34 o'clock downtown.
Yeah, exactly.
And just to see that level of response. We have a lot of chases in Milwaukee. We have a lot of arrests. We have, our fair share of murders. They don't all end this way. So there's something else happening here, right, that got that level of response.
When the U.S. Marshals are involved, it adds it up a little bit.
So that's what we know right now. Again, I did reach out to Milwaukee Police trying to get you more information. We'll share it when we get it. 7:14 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
The Milwaukee Brewers get back to their winning ways. It was a back-and-forth, pesky game with the pesky Marlins before.
Why don't they just lay down?
Right.
Nobody need to hear from you, Marlins.
Come on, help us out here.
Nobody's there at your ballpark.
That
Nobody wants to watch you.
In front of dozens of fans.
Right. Your own town doesn't care. Just lay down. Let us mow on over you.
So the Brewers were down late in the game when Yelich came up. Two out, two on in the eighth.
Yelich, a drive into right center field. That's going to get down for a base hit. Bowers will score. It's rolling all the way to the wall. Contreras around third. Yelich on his way to third. Contreras in there safely. And the throw hits off the facing of the Marlins dugout. Yelich in there with a two-run triple. And the Brewers take a 6-5 lead here in the eighth.
The Brewers would tack on one more thanks to Willy Adames. And they win 7-5. Now, the ball that was thrown to get Yelich at third base as he slid in hit him. So it bounced off of him and then rolled. Yelich posted on X after the game that everything went blurry and I almost tried to steal home again.
Which he did the night before.
He's fine. He's fine. The skipper, Pat Murphy, loving him.
Coming off 30 days of being out and then doing what he's done since he's been back, you know, quietly. He would tell you he's not even swinging the bat great, but yeah, he comes up big in every situation and, you know, he sets the tone.
Rookie left-hander Robert Gasser, who we like to call Bobby Gass, went six innings, which the crew needed because the bullpen was spent.
That helped us immensely. But the Marlins getting back in it is what hurts us.
Yeah, Murph wasn't pleased with what he says. Gass was just trying to throw too many, trying to strike people out. He was trying to get too cute there, and he let the Marlins back in it. But the Brewers win. Same teams tonight. Rubber matchup. Freddy Peralta on the hill for the crew. Our coverage at 5:05 from Miami. First pitch 5:40 right here on WTMJ.
Off today as the Green Bay Packers continue this week of OTAs. That's organized team activities. Near 100% attendance at these optional workouts. Good sign among many, says Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
You know, it's early, but I'm really excited about this group and their ability to come together, compete, to push each other. I feel like there's a lot of good juice out there right now.
A lot of good juice. Mm. I like that line. I mean, you like to hear it. Packers quarterback Jordan Love says this is an entirely different feel than the same time last year.
Yeah, it's night and day. I mean, you know, last year you have a lot of guys, young receivers that are, you know, learning the playbook, that, you know, the timing, the chemistry is just not really there yet. And, you know, we go out there today and it's just night and day. Guys know exactly where they're going to be at. We have so much chemistry from last year.
So all good things, right? You like
sure,
to hear that for your OTAs. Hey, all the guys are here. Guys are on the same page. Yeah. We're doing this. We're doing
optional,
that.
Optional, right? But here we are.
But really,
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Thank you, Allen Iverson.
He's not wrong.
Right, just to reset, right? I feel like we're going to win the Super Bowl every year at this time.
Well,
right?
And this is what? Jordan Love's fifth year, and that's when Aaron Rodgers won it, right?
That's when Packers quarterbacks win their Super Bowl.
So here we go. So, expectations now sky high.
Where's it this year? Miami again?
Yeah, where are we going?
I don't know. Where are we going? Because we have to book the rooms because we will be there. All good at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. Keith? Just checking the We Energy's power outage map. They've basically cut the outages in half in the last couple of hours, down to about 5,100 customers who are currently out of service following that line of severe storms that ripped through southeast Wisconsin overnight. We bring in Storm Team 4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson live with us this morning. Were you up super late, Brendan? Because Nisnansky was on TV, Tyler Moore was on TV, and Kristen Kershane all doing their thing, but you had to be ready to go this morning.
Yeah, you know, you get into the aftermath mode. So, you know, there was a part of me that wanted to be up, but
yeah, right.
You know,
that's your Super Bowl, man.
Exactly. But to hit the ground running this morning, had to turn everything off and, you know, try to get some sleep before coming in this morning. But no, Niz, Kristen, Tyler covering this thing from beginning to end. And we're with everybody throughout the course of the evening because, boy, were those storms were loud and they packed a punch for some.
What are we waking up to this morning?
Yeah, so this morning, some sporadic wind damage across southeastern Wisconsin. We had some tree damage in and around Waukesha, northern Dodge County we've heard of as well. And like you mentioned, the We Energy's power outages, there's been some big improvement there. But all indications are a lot of the hardest hit areas farther to the west. So across the Capital Region, in and around Madison, a lot of tree damage there. And as a matter of fact, MG&E, which is the electric provider there in Madison, at one point had more than 42,000 customers without power. That was 250 separate outage incidents, one of the largest they've ever had in their history. As of right now, just under 18,000 customers in and around Madison without power. So a lot of that wind over in Dane County. We actually had a 74-mile-per-hour wind gust recorded in Belleville in Dane County as those storms came on through. Some 60-mile-an-hour gusts in portions of other portions of Dane County as well as Dodge County. So a lot more of the damage across southwestern and south central Wisconsin.
And that's kind of what you were expecting, right, Brendan? Largely straight line winds as opposed to tornadoes when these storms got to us here in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the Storm Prediction Center and, you know, our forecast really were focusing that higher severe threat for western, southwestern Wisconsin, and then it progressively got less as it, you know, the line gets to Milwaukee. And that is pretty much the name of the game. That is what usually happens for us. Storms lose their steam as they move farther to the east, and we did have a lot of cloud cover in Milwaukee throughout the day yesterday, so there wasn't as much energy for those storms to tap into by the time they got to us. But the severe weather really maximized out to the west and gradually started to lose steam as it moved farther to the east. One thing I will say, numerous tornado warnings because of those little notches in the line. That's what Kristen and Niz were really following last night.
Man, you talked about the maximum effort that it was providing out west. Boy, Greenfield, Iowa, which is southwest of Des Moines, just decimated this morning.
Yeah, lots of tornado damage out that way. They're going to continue to send out crews from the National Weather Service, and we'll get a little bit more information on just how strong those tornadoes were out in Iowa. That was probably, I mean, the hardest hit area from this system. Understanding is our local weather office will more so focus folks in Spring Green, New Glarus in south central Wisconsin. Might send a team out that way to see if there is any confirmed tornado damage.
Yeah, that was going to be my only other question, and we're talking with Brendan Johnson, Storm Team for meteorologist this morning in the aftermath of these storms. There was a confirmed by the National Weather Service tornado touchdown just west of Wausau, I guess. But just those other areas are the only, because if folks were up watching, they noticed warnings in Dodge County, warnings in Fond du Lac County, warnings in sure. Sheboygan County. So no thoughts that a tornado ever actually touched down in those spots?
As of right now, no. However, usually at daybreak, we will get more of a better idea of what the damage looks like. Some more photos will come in, and if the Weather Service decides to go out, we'll learn a little bit more about that later on. But as of right now, no indications we're going to send a crew out that way.
Hey, I know you're super busy and you got to run to do TV. Thanks, Brendan.
Yep, no problem, guys. Take care.
Yeah, so maybe they would go out and investigate any of those spots, but sure, they need to see damage on that. When we pop these tornado warnings, you know, they call them like radar warnings, because they're what he was talking about was, you know, they're looking at the radar and they're interpreting, well, I see rotation here,
which would indicate a funnel cloud may be occurring.
Yes. So it's not like when we were kids before they had that technology. It was like you had to have a tornado on the ground.
Right.
Someone had to spot it in order to pop a warning. Now they can do that so that hopefully you're sending people to the basement before a tornado drops down on your house. It is 7:27 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering, our guest on Brewers 360 at 7:45.
It's been months since actor Matthew Perry passed away. Perry, of course, playing Chandler on the sitcom Friends. LA police now say they're investigating who provided Perry with a lethal dose of ketamine. ABC's Andrea Fujii.
Perry was found dead in his hot tub in October. An autopsy revealed he died from acute effects of ketamine. The LAPD now saying the case is open and ongoing. The LAPD is also working with the DEA and Postal Inspection Service to investigate whether ketamine came through the mail.
Yeah, they're wondering if maybe he ordered it, or, you know, it was sent for, if you will. So this is going to be challenging work to kind of figure all this out, says Robert Boyce. He is a former NYPD chief. He works for ABC.
Ketamine is not a drug that causes an overdose normally, but when combined with something else, it will. So right now it's the source of the ketamine and the timeline it goes through.
And then you go from there.
Why are we just doing this now?
That's like what I can't understand. He died months ago. He was in a hot tub. He OD'd. And here we are. This isn't unprecedented, though. There was in 2016, there was a rapper named Mac Miller who died from an overdose, and two people eventually were convicted for supplying fentanyl to him.
Yeah, it just seemed an odd time for it to pop up now.
Yeah.
Like, because he had autopsy report within a week or so, I think.
So they must have some information that they're working off of and felt like now is the time to announce. But you're right, it's been several months.
News is sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk. That's heard Saturdays at 10 right here on WTMJ. Going to re-tee a familiar topic and discussion that we have when we have severe weather events that cause meteorologists in southeast Wisconsin to take to the airwaves and go what we call wall to wall. That means no commercials, no programming. We're just on taking you through these storms. And it
potentially destructive storms.
Yes. It bothers a lot of people.
Yeah.
Especially if what you were watching on TV is what you wanted to watch. And when I was over at 4 and from time to time, and not all of the break-ins in programming are created equal. Like, some are for weather events and some are life-threatening weather events, and then some are just, well, we wanted to update you on this news
story.
Global
news.
Right, yeah. So, you know, you have to evaluate each one on a case-by-case basis. And I always used to say, like, hey, the reason people are watching you right now is because they like what's on right now.
Right.
So if you're going to take that away from them and replace it with something else, better be for good reason. We, from time to time, will get emails that were meant for TMJ4. As they just see the call letters,
sure,
or whatever.
Yep,
got
yep,
one
yep.
last night. Let me read this to you. Please get off the beak sucking air so we can watch what we paid for. Trust us. We have sirens, radio alerts, mobile phone alerts, and our own eyes and ears. This is Wisconsin, for Pete's sake. Enough already. Under the weather in Walworth. That's how the guy signed. I'm not going to use his name. But so they were obviously upset because last night was the Voice finale. Yeah, well, TMJ4.
Remember, so Brian Nisnansky was on the program with us yesterday morning, and he said it.
Hey, wish me luck. I got the Voice finale on tonight, right during the time frame.
Oh, no.
I was watching right in the thick of it when we were popping tornado warnings in Dodge, Fond du Lac, Sheboygan County, and his is like, we're going to try to get you back to the Voice. But I don't like what I'm seeing here. This could be a tornado. It could touch down. I want people to be safe. So there's a back and forth, and I don't know that there's always the right answer. Each one of these things is a case by case.
And the town was decimated in Iowa, and at least one life has been lost in Iowa from these same storms.
Right. Killed some people in Iowa and flattened a town. So we'll get into that at 8:10 this morning. A little bit more from Niz on all that.
The world is changing, though. The way we get our information now is different than how it used to be. So perhaps at some point we have to reconsider how things are done.
7:43, we'll do Brewers 360. That is coming up next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Back and forth for the Brewers and the Marlins, but it's the crew coming out on top over those pesky Marlins. 7-5, same teams tonight. Freddie Peralta on the bump.
And Brewers 360 is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Checking in with our man in South Beach this morning, Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering. What's up, Level?
Hey, good morning, guys. Nice and sunny here. How is it in Milwaukee?
We survived a pretty wicked blast of severe weather. Actually, nothing too bad here in southeast Wisconsin, but that same line that swept across the Midwest. So we dodged one here.
No, that's good. I know it was kind of looking dicey there for a while yesterday, but I'm glad it avoided most of Milwaukee. That's a good thing.
Hey, Jeff, how can you tell the difference when the team and the energy level of the team, per se, is playing before a couple of hundred
tens of fans
versus when it's an actual
it's
full house or at least, you know, 20 some thousand. The lack of fans in Miami, it has to play a role in just how everyone feels on the field.
No, you could definitely tell. I mean, when you guys are watching or listening to the game, you can tell how loud the bat crack is, right? I mean, that's not.
Yeah. It sounds like COVID baseball again.
Yeah, I think Tim made a mention of that the other day where they were piping in crowd noise. And we went, oh, man, we could really use some piped in crowd noise at this moment of the ball game. You could definitely tell. I mean, it almost feels like batting practice for the entire day. And the, you know, the sound system is really good in Miami, but it doesn't replicate what fans do. And you really take it for granted whenever you're at home and you've got American Family Fields and all those Brewers fans there. And it's just always lively, no matter what day of the week it is. And then you come down to a place like Miami or sometimes in Pittsburgh in April, and there's just nobody in the crowd, and you got to create your own juice. It's really, really tough.
What is the problem down there in Miami? They have a new, beautiful, state-of-the-art stadium. I know there's a lot of stuff to do. Actually, Tampa doesn't draw particularly well either. No. So, I mean, is there a reason to continue doing baseball in Florida, or is there somebody else who wants these guys?
Well, I mean, I'd love to say that I really don't know what the problem is, to be honest with you. I think some of it is it's so nice in Florida. There's so many other things to do that people aren't just coming to ball games. And in Miami, there's just a lot of different options instead of going to baseball games. And where the ballpark is located, it's not in a great area. It's away from everything else in Miami. So it's a real trek to get to the ballpark. Tampa Bay is going to get a new state-of-the-art stadium. Hopefully that'll do some things for the Tampa Bay Rays because they have a really good product, but they've just never been able to figure out the Marlins. However long they've been here since 1993, they just haven't been able to figure out getting crowds there, and they've won two World Series championships. That's the crazy part.
That's the unfortunate part. Who wants it more? Like, yeah, can I get one? Can I get a taste? Let's talk about the Brewers, right? Level. I love this team so much. I love how scrappy they are. I love how we fight and claw and battle. I'm really enjoying watching and listening to this team.
Yeah, it really is fun. And this is really the identity of the team, too. And it's been this way the entire year, and it's not going anywhere. This is just who they are. There's only been a handful of ball games this year where they haven't had either the winning run or the tying run on base in the ninth inning in a losing situation. It's just a really fun brand of baseball that this team plays. And you saw it last night. You're up 4-1. You have a big inning against you. They come right back, and they take the lead in the eighth inning against a tough left-hander. Yelich just had a great two games in Miami. Hopefully he has another great game tonight. But it's a really fun brand of baseball. They hit for power. They steal bases. They play the game the way it's supposed to be played, and it is a joy to watch.
You know what we have next week? The big storyline next week in Milwaukee when the Cubs come to town for four games. I can't get over how similar these teams are. They seem very, like, their record is close. They've both been hit with some pretty nasty injuries and unfortunate stuff like that. And of course, they have the manager that we used to have.
Yeah, both teams are built pretty much the same, and I don't think it's a coincidence either. For the Brewers, they've got a little bit more power than the Cubs do. But they pitch well. They've got really good bullpens. The Brewers bullpen is way better than the Cubs bullpen. It's going to be a really fun 4 days in Milwaukee. I know you got Memorial Day. It's a day game, a couple of night games, and then a day game on Thursday. I have a feeling the ballpark is going to be packed. A lot of schools are going to be out of session. Some schools are still going to be in session, but I feel like that four-game series might be the most heavily attended series that we have all season long.
Looking forward to it. Jeff Levering, our guest on Brewers 360 on this Wednesday morning. Have a great call tonight, Level.
Appreciate it. Talk to you guys next week.
See you, buddy.
10 minutes before 8 o'clock on Wisconsin's Morning News. No, I thought we were all done with this.
Oh, no. Can't be. It continues. It's the story that will not end. It's just like all those stories that are now part of our annual lives that happen all the time. This is just one that's going to continue. I'm being a little facetious here. Okay, so UWM, you remember the tent encampments, right?
Of course.
You remember that they were up across the country. We had one in Madison. We had one in Milwaukee. Well, the Milwaukee one ended because of an agreement that was made by UW-Milwaukee and by the protesters, the pro-Palestinian protesters that were living on campus in those tents. Well, that agreement was somewhat controversial in some ways in how it was worded and what UWM was agreeing to, and it sparked outrage, frustration. Milwaukee Jewish Federation and others called it capitulating the protesters, saying, why would you do this? There's many Jews still on campus who fear for themselves. The words you use and different things in this agreement would suggest that, you know, Israel's responsible for what happened on October 7th and whatnot.
Yeah, they didn't like some of the wording.
Right, yes. So now Mark Mone, the UWM chancellor, is apologizing. Hey, my bad is what it doesn't say that, but it says, it's clear to me that UWM should not have weighed in on a deeply complex geopolitical and historical issue. That's about right. That's about it. It is probably one of the most historical issues when it comes to geopolitics that's been out there. For this, I apologize, says Mone. I acknowledge that it is increasingly difficult for many Jewish students on the campus at times and across America. I've also heard that some students have not felt comfortable reporting their concerns or experiences. This distresses me. The expressions of grief and frustration over the conflict in the Middle East must not destabilize our shared sense of humanity or be twisted into a platform to spread hatred. So here's what's interesting. He says he's distressed and whatnot by the expressions of grief that some students have had. But he also says that, hey, well, we still are going to keep our agreement with these pro-Palestinians and these demonstrators.
Well, one part of it was they were interested in more information on how the school spends money, how it's
some divestments and whatnot. So it gets a little controversial if you're going to say, well, we're really sorry for it. But then, the message still stands. So now you have some frustration again by entities saying, well, what's the apology for then? What's the point of this? Why are you even bringing this back into the news if there's not going to be any change to the agreement? Meanwhile, the pro-Palestinians are going, I shouldn't say pro-Palestinians, the pro-Palestinian protesters who had been in the encampment are going to hold a news conference today to react to the apology from yesterday.
And they're going
to
be offended at the apology.
Which was a reaction to the Jewish Federation saying, hey, what's the deal with this agreement? I mean, we keep kicking this beehive. We keep keeping this story in the news when there's an actual story overseas that we should be following.
Kicking the beehive. That's well said.
Here,
right, yeah.
Locally, we keep making this issue out of this when really should move on and allow what's happening overseas to be the focus, not what's happening here on the east side.
Dueling news conferences and statements.
Right. Yep. So far, I know that the Jewish Federation has been reached out to and haven't heard back from them, so maybe the Jewish Federation will just stand by its statement and be like, look, let's focus on what's happening overseas.
At least it's summer, right? And you've got campus. I mean, there's still be campus activity there at UWM, but that was another thing that you got the sense that there and at UW was kind of waiting it out.
Yeah.
Everybody's going
to graduation.
Home to mom.
Yeah.